He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It's the last day of August. It's August the 31st. This is the live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we've got the Dow futures now drifting just a little bit lower. Dow futures down 30 points as we start a new week and finish off an old month. S&P futures down a couple of points also right now. We had a pretty good rally on Friday. NASDAQ futures up a whopping 1 point right now. So it looks like it could be a little bit of a slow start to a new week in the market. We have the small cap futures, and they're up a quarter of a percent, up 4 points right now. Of course, the NASDAQ closing in on 12,000. 12,000, that's what the NASDAQ is closing in on. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we finished off last week on a pretty good note, and in addition to that, we had a really good August. And I know there were a lot of pundits out there calling for big sell-offs. This is the beginning of the end. I don't know where those guys went. All those guys that were writing their articles about brace yourself for the new bear market. Now, this was back in March, April, May, June, July, August. They were wrong in March. They were wrong in April. They were wrong in May. And on and on and on. And now they've just kind of disappeared. I guess they got to regroup, maybe rebrand, start writing under a ghost name or something like that. It's not good for your reputation and your business and your following to lead them down paths that don't end up being right. It's good to be right in this business, and I'll let you judge for yourself about my guidance over the years in the market. Okay, well, we start a new week. Before we start a new week, let's look at the past week on how we finished the markets last Friday. It was a really good week for technology last week. I think one of the big factors was adding Salesforce to the Dow, which becomes official today. You get rid of a soggy stock and you add one with a little bit more life to it. And that really set the software stocks and the cloud stocks on fire last week. And I would say the other big catalyst behind last week was the rapid test that Abbott Labs has now developed. And that really helped the transportation, the airlines, the hotels, the restaurants, the cruise lines, etc., the theme parks. Not that I think it's going to make a really big difference, but maybe that just adds a little bit of a layer of confidence to where we can test now. We'll have the capability to test pretty much at will once this Abbott Labs test is out there in the marketplace in mass. And it would seem that this Abbott Labs test has pretty much wiped out the competition. All these little testing companies that were $3 stocks, and then they were $12 stocks because they had a new saliva test or a new spit test or a new 24-hour test, they're pretty much all been wiped out from my from my perspective by from the news from Abbott Labs last week. And of course that sent all of them south. All right, so now you've got the Dow, which has erased its 2020 losses. The Dow is barely in positive territory right now. By contrast, our little ultra growth portfolio is up over 50% so far this year, and our large cap portfolio is also sizzling this year. Some big events this week. Oh, boy, you know what? What are we going to do? Apple's going to split 4-for-1. That's a huge event. Instead of trading at, where is Apple these days? 400? Apple is at, maybe they should have done a 10-for-1 split because it just keeps going up. No, it's at 500. So it's going to go down $125 per share. And don't think when you wake up you just lost $275 per share in your Apple stock. You're going to have four times as many shares, okay? And the big news of the week, Tesla's going to split. What are we going to do? Tesla, I think, is going to split 5-for-1. And Tesla, obviously, is right now, it closed on Friday at $2,213. Per share. Where was it at the bottom of COVID? 350. Now, how can the value of Tesla go up sevenfold since March? Well, the investors think it did, and we'll see if they're right or not at some point in the future. Tesla will do a 5-for-1 split. That will take it all the way down to the low 400s. Oh, my gosh. Big news coming from Apple and Tesla, and you've got the new members of the Dow to start the week. Now, we're 30 days away from the end of this quarter. We're two-thirds of the way through the third quarter of 2020. 98% of the companies have reported their earnings. It was well over 80% of the companies that beat their earnings estimates. That is a record. And they didn't just beat their earnings estimates by a little bit. They beat earnings estimates on average by 22%. That's a record. Not only are the amount of companies that beat their earnings estimate, not only did that beat records, also the amount by which they beat. So what does that tell you? Well, that tells you that the analyst, and I think they're, you know, okay with doing that. They overshot on the downside when things were going bad. The err on the side of being conservative in the and the earnings estimates. They thought Q2 would be even a bigger disaster than it turned out to be. When all the beans were counted, earnings were down about 30% this year versus the same quarter last year. You know, I was looking ahead to the this comparable quarter, the second quarter of next year. Right now the analysts are looking for 48% gain in earnings. Of course, they've got an easy comparable. I think we're going to come in right around $29 per share for this quarter, which will be the worst quarter in a long, long time. It was the COVID quarter. And obviously, barring some kind of other bad news, the next year's quarter, second quarter of 2021, expected to be about 48% higher than this quarter that we just had reported. Global markets mixed. Japan up 1.1%. Of course, Japan gets a little bit of good news, probably propped up. Warren Buffett buying several Japanese trading brokerage type of stocks, and I'm sure that's propelling Japan up 1.1%. We also heard last week that Prime Minister Abe will be stepping down. We don't know who will replace him yet. Paris up 0.9% overnight. Frankfurt up 0.6%. You've got one of the best August Dow and S&P 500 return in decades. In decades. Who would have expected that? Well, I did. I never took off my ultra bullish calls that I made back in March of this year. We had at our firm, I would say one of the best months that I can remember ever at Gunderson Capital Management. Well, you can never rest on your laurels in this business. Oh, no. You can never rest on your laurels. because the market is all about looking ahead. It's nice to look backwards and thump your chest and say, I told you so. But you know what? The challenge never ends. You start a new day. You start a new week. We'll start a new month tomorrow. We'll start a new quarter in 30 days. We may have a change at the top. Who knows? There's all kinds of challenges out there. Things are happening very rapidly in the Middle East. There's news coming in from all over the world. And, of course, all those little tributaries that lead into the U.S. economy, the biggest economy in the world, the biggest stock market in the world, the biggest bond market in the world. I've always got to remain on guard and vigilant here at Gunderson Capital Management. Okay, we'll start with the macro news, and then we'll drill down to individual companies when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the damage is being assessed across the world of what COVID did to the economies of the world. The Italian economy plunged 12.8% in Q2. Now, we were down more like 30%. Of course, we have a much bigger economy. Italian economy down 12.8% in Q2. Turkey's economy shrinks 10% in Q2. That was the damage done there. And you have a historic event going on in the Middle East today. Things are changing rapidly in the Middle East as the first Israeli commercial airliner flew over Saudi Arabia on a nonstop flight from Israel. Where did it land? It landed in the United Arab Emirates, where you've got normalized relations going on between those two countries for the first time ever. I don't know if they ever had relations with each other before. Of course, the United Arab Emirates, home to Dubai. But they're talking. Talks will initially focus on fields like tourism, finance, investment, and health, with Israel's finance ministry seeing potential for annual bilateral trade starting at $2 billion and building up to $6.5 billion. In addition to this, the UAE will buy F-35 stealth fighters from Lockheed Martin. Nestle's is making a purchase. This is weird, okay? Nestle's health science division, I didn't know they had a health science division. I thought it was just like chocolate and peanuts and caramel, has entered into a definitive agreement to acquire peanut allergy treatment maker, Aimmune Therapeutics. So I've watched that stock over the years. I thought, you know, I mean, they have a very narrow focus on what they work on as far as drugs go, peanut allergies and other food allergies. Well, I guess Nestle's thinking that they could use something like that in their portfolio of chocolate syrup and whatnot. Nestle's buying a biotech. They're buying a biotech. The transaction is expected to close in Q4. Speaking of Tesla, do you know that Tesla was up during the month of August, I want to say 44%. Where is that statistic? Yes, up 44% during the month of August. We may have some areas in the market, at least from my perspective, that could be just a little bit overheated here. That's why we have to always be vigilant. Okay, let's see what else we got going. Oh, well, you know what? This is one worth watching for, definitely. We've got an IPO out there, Snowflake. Now, it hasn't come public yet. But the man behind Snowflake also brought ServiceNow public. and he brought Data Domain public. This will be his third IPO. ServiceNow has been, that's definitely on my wall of fame here at the firm, as one of our biggest winners we ever found early on. ServiceNow, symbol now. The guy who's bringing it public, Slootman. I don't know his first name. They just say Slootman is preparing to take Snowflake public 13 years after his first tech IPO, Data Domain, and 8 years after his second, ServiceNow, one of the biggest winners of all time. Slootman owns 5.9% of Snowflake. He lifted the company's valuation to $12.4 billion in February from $4 billion in April of last year. The company's revenues doubled in the first half of 20 to $242 million from $104 million the prior year. Well, this is the kind of growth we look for. So how do I handle an IPO like that? Well, when they go public, number one, I put it on my watch list. It's not public yet, but I'll be watching and I'll be checking. And when I see that it finally has a symbol and it's actually trading, I will add it to my Best Stocks Now app. And on a daily basis, the app will collect, when there are numbers on it, P.E. ratios, price to book, price to sales, price to cash flow, earnings estimates, estimated growth rates. And once we have all that data, we're able to then create five-year target prices. And over time, the company will develop a track record of performance. And at some point in time, it will have a ranking. But it will join my database of 5,323 different securities. I'm an equal opportunity investor. Other IPOs, high-profile ones, getting ready to come public, Asana, I've got my eye on that one, Unity Software, JFrog, Sumo Logic, Palantir, and a few others. How many COVID-19 studies are taking place concurrently? Right now, 3,100, a good indicator of the substantial global effort to develop treatments and vaccines against COVID-19 can be found in clinicaltrials.gov. A beta version of a new feature shows that there are currently 3,136 registered clinical trials worldwide evaluating some aspect of treating or preventing the viral respiratory infection. Studies are planned or being conducted across 115 countries. Oh, boy. And, you know, it's just about any major drug company out there has got something going on with COVID. What happens when something is proven to be effective as far as the vaccine goes? The chief of the FDA is willing to bypass the full federal approval process in order to make a COVID-19 vaccine available as soon as possible. Now, Stephen Hahn says the move is not intended to please Donald Trump. An emergency authorization could be appropriate before phase 3 clinical trials are completed if the benefits outweigh the risk. Well, I'm not going to run out and get a vaccine. I can just tell you that right now. I mean, I've gone this far. I haven't gotten COVID. And I think I want to make sure that that vaccine is safe and everything like this and that. But I'm sure there will be people that will run out get that vaccine. I'm definitely not going to get the Russian vaccine, the one that Russia developed and tested on 32 soldiers. We don't know how many of them keel over. And, of course, China's got a vaccine floating around out there also that they're selling to other countries with supposedly stolen data from other biotechs around the world. It's interesting. There's all kinds of cross currents going on in the world. Okay, Warren Buffett turned 90 over the weekend. What did he buy on his 90th birthday? More on that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. Twin soldiers and Nixon. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we got a little pop out of the NASDAQ right now, up 26. But at the same time, over at the Dow, down 122. Well, I'm mostly focused on NASDAQ-type growth stocks instead of soggy stocks of the Dow. Dow down 133 right now, NASDAQ up 26. That is where we begin a new week in the market. Well, Warren Buffett turned 90. I mean, how much longer does he have? I don't know. He seems to be in pretty good shape. I think it's the See's chocolates and the cherry cokes that keep him going. He invested in five companies in Japan. Five major trading companies have many joint ventures throughout the world and likely to have more of these partnerships. The companies are Itochu, Marubeni, Mitsubishi, Mitsui, and Sumitomo. Berkshire says it's been buying shares in the five over the past 12 months and now has a bit more than a 5% stake in each. That would amount to a total investment of about $6.5 billion. Berkshire says it won't go over 9.9% ownership in any of the companies without first getting approval from the investees' boards. The announcement comes on Warren Buffett's 90th birthday. Apple terminates Epic Games developer account. Why is that important? Well, it's impacting Tencent Holdings today. It's down about 2%. It terminated the developer account of Epic Games, the maker of Fortnite, with which it's engaged in a pitched legal battle. Epic says, Apple, you're taking too much out of our hide. We developed Epic Games just because it's in your... But apparently, Fortnite was selling in... Once you download the app, then there's in-app types of upgrades you can make, and it goes around Apple. Apple doesn't like that. Kicking them out and terminating their developer account... And it also cuts their other games, like Infinity Blade, off of the app. Today was the deadline for Epic to return Fortnite to the App Store without the alternate payment system that got it suspended from the store in the first place. Well, we'll see. Google is also being sued. Epic is 40% owned by Tencent Holding, which is down about 2% right now. And, you know, Epic Games is not the only one claiming that Apple's cut is too much. Others are making those same claims. I would make the same claim as an app developer myself. Latest secondary listing in Hong Kong. This is all the rage right now, and it's working. Following in the footsteps of Alibaba, which had a big week last week. JD.com has been on a tear. NetEase has been on a tear. Yum China is becoming the latest U.S.-listed Chinese company to seek a secondary listing in Hong Kong. Yum China is up 7% today on the news. I wrote a little bit and I commented last week about the Chinese stocks, the cooling a little bit of relations between us and China, and also China's willingness when they said, come audit our companies. They were talking about Alibaba and JD and NetEase and some of the other big ones, Tencent Holdings, which, you know, at least takes away that threat, you would think, of them being delisted from the U.S. stock exchanges. And the Chinese stocks actually performed quite well last week. I was looking at a chart of the Chinese ETFs. FXI is one that I use as a proxy, and I commented that, you know, this thing's kind of going sideways here recently, but it looks like it could break out. Now, it's pulling back a little bit today because Tencent Holdings is a big part of the China index, and Tencent's dragging it down. But if you look at a chart of FXI, it attempted to break out about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and then, you know, the tensions flared up again, and now they're cooling off again, and now you've got concessions being made about the audits and all, and that could be beneficial to the China stocks going forward. I've also said that a win by Joe Biden would be beneficial to Chinese stocks. So that's one area that we're watching very closely, the stocks in China. NIO, speaking of the stocks in China, NIO prices a secondary offering. You'll soon be able to buy a NIO electric car here in the U.S. They've got quite a lineup of cars. I think they're the third biggest. Tesla's number one in China for electric cars. Number two is Boyd, B-Y-D-D-F. B-Y-D-D-F, I think, or B-Y-Y-D-F, something like that. And I want to say NIO is number three. That's definitely a stock to keep your eye on. I've also noticed that the electric ETF, the electric car ETF, DRIV, also has been doing very well. And I note that Tesla is up about 7 points today, last time I checked. So that would be 35 points pre-split. Now that it's split, it's up 7 points. But the percentages work out the same. PayPal, which has been on a tear. PayPal has really been on a tear recently. PayPal is an announcing buy now, pay later. I like that. No, you don't want to do too much of that, or you'll have a lot to pay later. They do that around Christmas time, right? Remember the old ads? Buy now, pay later. Pay next year, we don't care. PayPal expands its pay later options with its pay in four short-term installment that allows U.S. consumers to make a purchase and pay over four interest-free installments. The merchants get paid up front. So this is good news for merchants. It will help them with retention, stuff like that. And they'll get their money up front while PayPal will wait and to get their money. So PayPal continues to be a leader in all of this technology of online payments. And guess what? They're crushing the banks. J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, on and on, Citigroup, on and on. Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs. I wouldn't own any of those stocks. If you want to own them, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you. But look, they're being crushed by new innovative ways of doing business. I've always said it's better to own the disruptor as opposed to the disrupted. And that's been one of the themes behind our investing over the years, looking for the next disruptor or the next disruptors. If I were to rattle off some of the biggest winners that we found here of all time, the Teladocs of the world and the PayPals of the world and others, many others, ServiceNow, they were all disruptors. They came along and looked at business being done the old way by entrenched companies, and they came along with new and better innovative ideas. And pretty well, I mean, Amazon's probably the ultimate disruptor of all time. And others, obviously, and there will be future disruptors. There's still a lot of things that we're doing the old way. This whole COVID thing has caused a big revolution in the work-from-home technology and ways of doing business, and we'll continue to be vigilant. That's why, when a company goes public, I add it to my app. Not only do I add it to my app, I figure out what they do for a living. And every once in a while, a light bulb will go off in my head amongst the cobwebs and say, you know what? This is a pretty innovative little company here. You better keep an eye on this one. They might have something here. And, you know, it's better to find them early on than the sleepy guys over at the big wirehouse firms. By the time they're paying dividends, the wirehouse firms start covering them and writing about them and whatnot. And all the easy money has been made in these stocks. But there will continue to be disruptive companies going forward. in software, in telehealth, in the auto sector, in the semiconductor sector. And in fact, when we come back, I'm going to feature one of my favorite semiconductor stocks at the current time. And believe it or not, it pays a dividend. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the NASDAQ got a little lift under it, 41 points. The Chinese stocks are selling off a little bit here today on the Fortnite Epic Games news and the spat between them and Apple. The small caps also down, Russell 2K down 8 points today. All right. Well, you know, one of the biggest stocks I ever missed... I owned it, off and on, maybe a few times, but the analyst, that's all I can say, as a guy who used to go visit companies and talk to them, and one of the two key takeaways that we would try to achieve, three key takeaways. Number one, what your earnings are going to look like at, by the end of this year, by the end of next year, and hopefully by the year after that, and make some pro forma forecast on the income statements of what we think the company can earn over the next couple of years, divide it by the amount of shares outstanding, and come up with an earnings per share estimate. The second key takeaway is in talking to management and talking to sales and talking to operations and all the rest of them, as many as you can, what kind of growth do you think you can achieve? Bottom line, earnings growth. And that's the basis of my formula for making five-year valuations. Of course, the other takeaway is what I think the company is worth based on that information. And that all depends on what industry they're in, what multiples their competition trades at, how fast they're growing versus others in their sector. And I would say one of the stocks that the analysts have had wrong as far as the growth rate over the years has been NVIDIA. You know, I always saw like 8 to 10% seemed to be pretty much where the analysts were at. And they were wrong, because over the last 5 years, NVIDIA has delivered 38% per year in earnings growth. Now, it is a cyclical business. The semiconductor business is cyclical. It has its up and downs, but not as wide of swings as, say, the home builders or the shipping stocks or others that are more directly tied to the economy. NVIDIA has delivered over the last 5 years 38% per year growth. Okay, now let's just see how that has translated to performance. Over the last 5 years, NVIDIA has delivered 92% per year performance. While it's been, so does that mean it's too expensive here? Well, let's see what the growth looks like going forward. I still think the analysts are too low. They have, over the next 5 years, NVIDIA growing by 15% per year, while it's averaged 38% per year over the last 5 years. Well, let's use their 15% per year, and let's grow their earnings estimates, which are about $11. They're looking for 56% growth in earnings this year, 21% next year. Let's grow those earnings by 15% per year, and let's attach a multiple, which, you know, comes from other companies in the industry. Their position in the industry, are they a dominant company? Dominant companies get higher multiples than less dominant companies. For instance, Intel has become a laggard in the sector, while AMD and NVIDIA have become leaders in the sector. they're going to command higher multiples than the laggards. So when I apply a multiple that I think is appropriate for NVDA, I come up with a target price in the app. It's one of the most valuable aspects of the app is those five-year target prices of 927. I mean, you can go back 5 years ago, be an interesting study. I just know from watching of where I was at 5 years ago with my target prices and where those stocks are today. It's been pretty deadly accurate. Now, of course, the company has to perform. Things come along that change companies. But for the most part, most of the big stocks, the leaders, those five-year target prices that I set 5 years ago, that I set 10 years ago, they've been achieved and then some, with no guarantees going forward. But I currently have a $927 target price on NVIDIA. In addition to that, NVIDIA pays a dividend. Oh, it doesn't pay an 8% dividend. It doesn't even pay a 3% dividend yield. But it does pay a dividend, and who knows? Maybe that dividend will continue to go higher over the years, because once a company starts paying a dividend yield, investors get greedy. Hey, they want a bigger dividend as earnings increase. And with the kind of growth that NVIDIA has put in over the last 5 years and could continue to put in over the next 5 years, NVIDIA could also increase that dividend. Well, NVIDIA is currently ranked number 72 out of 5,332. I do own NVIDIA in my dividend and growth portfolio, believe it or not. Well, it pays a dividend. That's all that's required to be in there, alongside with growing earnings. A reasonable, a case to be made for a much higher price down the road based on valuation and, of course, performance that the stock has put in over the years. It's a leader in the industry, ranked 72, will make NVDA our featured stock of the day. It's better to own the disruptors than it is to own the disrupted. I see one article after another being written about Intel and its big fat dividend yield, but for whatever reasons, Intel has become a laggard in the industry. I want to own the leaders in the industry. If you'd like to set up an appointment with us, there's a lot happening in the world today, more active than I've ever seen. And, of course, here at home in the U.S., more active than I've ever seen. The news stream, the cycle, the news coming across the lines, and, of course, the innovations being made in medicine and technology also at the same time. It's no time to be passive. It's a good time to be active and very, very vigilant and being maneuverable and flexible to be able to take advantage quickly of opportunities that come along. And that's my job here, is to put on those Polaroid glasses every day, look at those charts and look at the news feed and try to find those opportunities and at the same time do my best to protect on the downside. If you'd like to make an appointment with us, it's a good week to do it. Give us a call. 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or check out our performance in the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.